Bhakti, devotional service. Krishna, unto Krishna. Daya, mercy. Jiveshu, unto other living entities. Akuntagyanam, perfect knowledge. Atmani, of the self. Yadhi, if, shat, it becomes, atmanaha, of oneself, bhuyat, there must be, apavargaha, liberation, to, then, sanshrite, from the bondage of material life. If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the words Daya Jiveshu, meaning, quote, mercy to other living entities, unquote, indicate that a living entity must be merciful to other living entities if he wishes to make progress in self-realization. This means he must preach this knowledge after perfecting himself and understanding his own position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Preaching this is showing real mercy to living entities. Other types of humanitarian work may be temporarily beneficial for the body, but because a living entity is spirit soul, ultimately one can show him real mercy only by revealing knowledge of his spiritual existence. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivir Sarupoya Krishner Nitya Das, every living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. One should know this fact perfectly and should preach it to the mass of people. If one realizes that he is an eternal servant of Krishna but does not preach it, his realization is imperfect. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore sings, Dushtaman Tumi Kishir Vaishnav Pratishthar Tare Nirjaner Ghare Tava Hari Nam Keval Kaitava. My dear mind, what kind of a Vaishnav are you? Simply for false prestige and a material reputation, you are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. In this way, people who do not preach are criticized. There are many Vaishnavs in Vrindavan who do not like preaching. They chiefly try to imitate Haridas Thakur. The actual result of their so-called chanting in a secluded place, however, is that they sleep and think of women and money. Similarly, one who simply engages in temple worship but does not see to the interest of the mass of people or cannot recognize devotees is called a Kanista Adhikarya. Acharyam eva haraye pujam ya shradhaye hate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu na bhakta prakrite smitaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, 11th canto, chapter 2, text 47. So, in this verse, we see the importance of becoming Krishna conscious is that one will become free from the miseries of this material world. That's the benefit of becoming Krishna conscious. one will be apavarga instead of pavarga. Pavarga describes the situation of this material world. Pa, and ma. Pavarga. So pa refers, Srila Prabhupada mentions, to parishram, our people in the material world, living entities in the material world, have to work very hard. If someone wants to advance materially, one has to put one's hard labor and take so many difficulties. If someone doesn't have money, then they have to work hard to obtain it. If someone does have money, they have to work hard to keep it. Nowadays, you may have so much money, but just putting it in the bank is of no use because the inflation rate is as high or higher than the interest rate. So day by day, your money is dwindling. And this creates a lot of anxiety. Where to put the money? One, so that it doesn't shrink to nothing. Two, so that the government doesn't get it. So many anxieties. They have to work hard. Fena. Pa, fa, fena. Fena means foam. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that we see the horses or the bulls. They're pulling 1 ton of sugar cane. And so foam comes to the mouth. Pa, ya artaha, means that even though one works very hard in this material world to obtain some goal, no one is ever satisfied by that hard labor. Neither the one performing the hard labor, neither the ones one is performing the hard labor for. Srila Prabhupada explains, the father and mother work very hard for the children so that they can have all the things in life. And when the mother and father become old, no one even cares to look after them. Right? Now it's becoming popular in India to put old parents in an old folks' home so that you don't have to bother. No tension, no headache. And they're not looked after properly, then they suffer. We serve our senses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as the faithful. We're the faithful servants of our senses. Right? Our senses are our masters. Whatever they say, we do. Right? Faithfully. Go here, smell this, eat that, see this, and we're there too. Yes, I'll do it. But after serving the mind and senses a whole lifetime, they're never satisfied. Even in old age, they never say, okay, leave him, let him retire. No, still they agitate. Srila Prabhupada says, in Paris, right, they have the naked dance clubs, and the old men pay $50, 70-year-old men pay $50 to go to the naked dance club. What is the use at 70? But because the mind and senses are always agitated, they never leave one. And then bhaya, fear. Right? Srila Prabhupada explains, the more we are in the bodily concept of life, the more one is fearful. Fearful. Because what is the destination of the body? It's not a very glorious destination, this material body. Where does it go? At the end, when the soul leaves the body, what's the result of this body that the living entity works so hard to maintain? Huh? It either becomes ashes, it becomes stool, or it becomes earth. Huh? Because some Hindu religion, they burn the body, so it becomes ashes. And in Christian and Muslim religion, they bury it, so it becomes dirt. And the Parsis, they put the body on a tower and the vultures come and eat it. And what does it become? Stool. Okay. But there's a little problem with the Parsis' way of getting rid of the body. Because the veterinaries are giving so many drugs to the buffaloes because the buffaloes have arthritis. So they give them heavy doses of arthritis medicine. They give human beings also, but they give heavy doses to the buffaloes. And then when the vultures come to eat the buffaloes, that arthritis medicine adversely affects the vultures and they're dying off. So there's not many vultures left. So the Parsis can't really dispose of their dead the way they're traditionally meant to do it, and they're forced to bury like the Christians or the Muslims. Now the government has banned this arthritis medicine for buffaloes. It's still available for humans, but it's not available for buffaloes. And slowly the vultures are coming back. So you'll be happy to know that. And then finally, ma, mrityu. One has to die. This is pavarga. And through bhakti Krishna, through devotional service to Krishna, one can be free from this paravaga, and its devotional service is aparavagas. Aparavagas means liberation, freedom from this samsara, cycle of birth and death. So what is this bhakti Krishna? Devotional service to Krishna. It's explained by Rupa Goswami that it's without any desire for fruitive results, without any mental speculation. That is what is bhakti Krishna. This particular verse talks about showing daya jiveshu. Daya means mercy, and jiveshu means to all the living entities. So, one who's actually performing devotional service, they must also be merciful to all living entities. And what is that mercy? Huh? Some persons feel that mercy is one should have eye camps or open hospitals or perform some welfare activity. Right? But Srila Prabhupada says, no, this is not real. Undoubtedly, these are good activities. They're not bad. But it's not devotional service. It's not giving the people Shreya Uttamam, the ultimate benefit, because the living entity is spiritual, not this material body. And Srila Prabhupada hammered this point again and again. And here it says, if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, akunta jnanam atmani, akunta jnanam means perfect knowledge, atmani, of the self. One has to have perfect knowledge of the self. And then being fixed in that, one should give that knowledge to others. So modern civilization is propagating the idea that there is no self. There is no God. There's just the material nature. And it's working independently, quite by accident, they say. So this philosophy is all-pervading. It is the motto of the modern society. And we see it by the fact that people are becoming more and more absorbed in sense gratification. Right? Performing quite openly more illicit activities, meat eating, gambling, intoxication. These become the hallmark of modern civilization. One is progressive if one engages in these activities, so-called progressive. But we understand that these activities, yes, there is progressiveness in these activities. One progresses towards hell. One progresses towards animal consciousness. That's the progression. Real progression, real progressiveness, real advancement means to understand our identity as the eternal soul, separate from anything in this material world. This point can't be stressed enough. Srila Prabhupada calls it the simple truth. But yet it's a simple truth. People do not understand it. So devotional service means to be fixed in this. Fixed that I'm the eternal spirit soul and my responsibility or my duty is to serve Krishna. Jivir Swarupai Nitya Krishna Das. So, there are different, Prabhupada quotes a verse from the 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, text number 47. This is a talks between Narad Muni and Vasudev, the father of Lord Krishna, in Dwarka. And Narad Muni was explaining about the conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the Navayugendras. So this verse is from that conversation. And it's the Navayugendra named Havi who's explaining about the fact that there's devotees on different platforms. Right? There's first class, second class, and third class devotees. Right? So the third class devotee doesn't preach. Right? They believe in God, but they feel that God is in the temple. And it's explained that all religions have this mentality. You know, God's in the church, or God's in the synagogue, or God's in the mosque, but He's not outside. Right? So if you want to be spiritual, go to the church, go to the mosque, go to the synagogue and be spiritual. As soon as you get out, then you forget God completely. But this is third class. Worshipping the deity in the temple also without understanding that the Lord is within the heart of each and every living entity is third class. And such a person's faith is very weak. By association of non-devotees, very easily their consciousness can become polluted. Their determination to serve the Lord can become diverted. Whereas a second-class devotee of the Lord is determined to serve Krishna. Whatever may happen, doesn't matter. I will serve Krishna. Although they may not have all shastric evidences at the tip of their tongue to defeat the atheistic philosophy, still their determination to serve Krishna is very strong. And they preach. Second-class devotees preach Krishna consciousness. right? So here, this verse is explaining that if you want to actually come to the perfect stage, one must preach Krishna consciousness. In order to preach, one has to come to the second platform of devotional service. Not that others can't preach, they can also preach. But to be effective, one has to have this firm determination, this firm understanding about our identity as the eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. All the Vaishnava acharyas are explaining this same thing, that there's the Supreme Lord and there's the living entity. And the duty of the living entity is to serve the Supreme Lord. Krishna also is explaining that all the living entities are my parts, my anshas, eternally. It's not that the living entity at some point becomes God. No, that's not possible. That's Mayavad philosophy. That's the understanding of Shankaracharya, the covered atheist philosophy, that the living entity becomes God. God is not like that. God is always God. No one can become God. Right? It's not by your meditation or by your study of Sanskrit that you'll become God. How is it possible? God is the master of the illusory energy. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyute sacharacharam, Krishna says. This material energy is working under my direction. So how is it that the material energy illusions God? How is it possible? This is what the Mayavadis are propagating. That the living entity becomes illusion. And through meditation and study of Sanskrit, one can come out of the illusion and understand that actually one is God. So in this case, if the material energy can illusion God, then Maya is all-powerful, and therefore they're known as Mayavadis. Maya is supreme. Right? Their tattva is Maya. But no, we know the tattva. Tattva is Krishna, the absolute truth, the fountainhead of all the other incarnations, that which is meant to be inquired about. Is Krishna. In one verse from Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, there it's mentioned that others may worship the Brahman, others may try to understand the Paramatma, but for me, I'm simply thinking of the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, where the absolute truth is plain as a child in his yard. This is the highest tattva, Krishna. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that there's no truth superior to me. The devotional service is meant for understanding Krishna. We have hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, worshipping Krishna in the temple, chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Nam Sankirtan. In this age, the chief means for understanding Krishna is through Nam Sankirtan. Everything that we perform is for realizing Krishna, realizing our relationship with Krishna. And in order to be progressive in that relationship, one has to take up this responsibility of daya jiveshu, showing mercy to other living entities. We may not know much, but whatever we know, we should share with others. Right? Srila Prabhupada used to talk about Shyam Sundar's daughter. She was only 2 or 3 years old. Huh? And she used to come up to people and say, "Do you know who God is?" Little girl, 2 or 3 years old. And they shake their head no and say, "Krishna is God." Huh? So Prabhupada said, even a 3-year-old little girl can preach. Huh? She's preaching. Huh? So whatever we know. And that's Mahaprabhu's instruction. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, tell them about Krishna. Just realize that everyone is in this pavarga. They're suffering. Right? Don't be caught. Maya's trick is that I think I'm suffering and the karmis are doing okay. That's Maya's trick. I see them go by in their new Mercedes-Benz and I think, oh gee, if I just had a Mercedes-Benz. Right? The devotees of the Lord, they have the highest thing, Krishna Tattva, Nam Sankirtan, right? Srimad Bhagavatam. They have Atmagyan, Akunta Gyanam, perfect knowledge. But Maya's trick is to think, no, there's something else. Right? So we have to be careful. Maya is very powerful. Maya's business is to keep the karmis in the material world and to get the devotees who have declared war against the material world back in the material world. That's her business. She has that thankless task. But we have so much protection. Because the desire of Krishna's devotee is very powerful. No one can do devotional service without the dust of a pure devotee of the Lord. We're all sitting here listening to Srimad Bhagavatam by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by his desire. Therefore, Krishna has made arrangements for us to hear. Without the dust from a pure devotee's lotus feet, Lord Rishabhdev tells his 100 sons that the gates to hell are wide open. Gates to hell are wide open. So our ability to perform devotional service is dependent upon how we are attached to the devotees of the Lord. And the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, I carry what you have. I preserve what you have. I carry what you lack. I make up the difference. Huh? And why does he do that? Because of the connection with his devotees. Otherwise, no. And there's a nice story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that exemplifies this. Every year, the devotees from Navadvip would come and visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And during the rainy season, they would spend time in Jagannath Puri with him. They would stay up to Jagannath Rath Yatra, stay in there during the Niyam Mass, and after that, go back to Bengal. So when it was time for the devotees to go back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted them all. And he told specifically to Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda, go back and preach Krishna consciousness. And he greeted all the devotees, Shivananda Sen, Jagannanda Pandit, all of them, and saw them off. At that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approached the Lord. He said, "My dear Lord, you please come and take prasadam in my house. You come every day this month for 30 days. You please come and take prasadam in my house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I'm a sannyasi. A sannyasi's business is to take a little bit from everyone's house. How can I go for 30 days to your house? And he said, my dear Lord, please, please. So it went back and forth like that for some time. And finally it was settled up that Mahaprabhu would come to his house for 5 days. Right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyasi associates, Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri, right? Sroop Damodar, they would come the other days so that the quota would fill up the 30 days. Right? So the wife of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, she began to cook. And she made so many preparations for the pleasure of the Lord. And they're described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many different kinds of shak, shukta, etc., etc., etc. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, there was a large banana plate with a whole pile of rice that was golden in color from the fresh cow's ghee that was on it. And so many different preparations. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became amazed. He said, how is it possible for one person to cook this in just a few hours? Actually, this would take 100 men with 100 stoves to cook so much. He said, but anyway, thank you for inviting me to your house. I'm so happy to see the way that you're serving Krishna. And this is all such nice Krishna prasadam. It's wonderful. Coming to a devotee's house to eat Krishna prasadam is the, you know, goal of life. Thank you for inviting me. Now put one plate over here and I'll take a little bit. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, my dear Lord, please. You sit here. This is all for you. Right? I know how much you can eat in Jagannath Mandir. Chapan Bhog is nothing for you. 56 times you can eat. Right? So don't make a false pretense here. Please sit down and take prasadam. So at the humble request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat and began to take prasadam. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's daughter was married to a person called Amoga. And Amoga had this bad habit of criticizing Mahaprabhu. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya used to keep a stick by the door. In case he entered his house, he would chase him away with a stick. However, because he was absorbed in serving out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his lunch, he forgot about Amoga. And Amoga entered in the house and immediately said, see, sannyasi, eating so much. So-called sannyasi. Just see. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately stood up and grabbed the stick and ran after Amoga to beat him. And Amoga ran fast like anything to get away from him. Then the wife of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came out from the kitchen. And she was beating her head against the wall. Oh, what an offense, what an offense. May my daughter become a widow, she said. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became back. He was so embarrassed. And Mahaprabhu said, never mind, never mind. He finished his lunch. He went back to the Gambira. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya followed him back, fell down at his feet. And Mahaprabhu said, never mind, never mind. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went back to his house and spoke to his wife. It's better that our daughter becomes a widow. So they began to fast. They stopped taking food. And the next day, the information came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Amoga had contracted cholera and was on his deathbed. He was dying. And that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife were fasting. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and immediately went to the house of that Amoga. And he was lying there on his bed, dying from cholera. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his hand on his chest and he said, Amoga, inside your heart is love for Krishna, but you're keeping inside so many other dirty things. Take those things out and let the love for Krishna only be there. After saying this, Amoga immediately jumped up from the bed and began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And just like a madman, he began to run around Puri, sometimes rolling on the ground, tears coming from his eyes, chanting the holy name of Krishna. After that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met the Lord, he said, My dear Lord, you should have left him die because he offended your lotus feet. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many verses that talk about the ill effects of offending a Vaishnava. Right? So many different verses from various scriptures about Vaishnava Aparadha. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he replied to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that because he is your relative, therefore I delivered him. What would people say if the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya died? Because he's connected to you, therefore I delivered him. Right? So again, the point being, what is our stance to become delivered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's our connection. Our connection to His pure devotees. Right? Our own qualification, we don't have. Simply aparadis. Didi aparad, Vaishnava aparad, Nam aparad. You name it, we aparad it. So what is our hope? Our hope is our connection to Krishna's pure devotee. Following the instruction of Krishna's pure devotee. And that instruction is, preach Krishna consciousness. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, ask him to chant the holy name of Krishna. This will be our deliverance. This will be our ability to come to the perfect stage. This will be our entrance into the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Microphone?
This portion of 1A, B, C, is it part of the original Bhagavatam or something?
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada explains that here, that Madhva Acharya says that these verses are part of the original Bhagavatam. Madhva Acharya, we accept. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Grantrad Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bhava.